That's the title music for Last Tango in Paris, a movie about Paul, the middle-aged man played by Marlon Brando, and his attempt to have an intense, disconnected, physical relationship with a much younger French woman, Jeanne, played by Maria Schneider, with no strings attached, no names, no emotion. It was directed by Bernardo Bertolucci, and it was rated X.
I don't want to know your name. You don't have a name, and I don't have a name either. No names here. Not one name.
The movie breakthrough has finally come, wrote Pauline Kael in October of 1972, when the film was released. Her New Yorker review of Last Tango declared that October 14th, the date of its premiere, should be remembered always as a landmark in movie history, comparable to the night of May 29th, 1913, in music history, she said, when Le Sacre du Printemps, The Rite of Spring, was first performed to a famously riotous reaction.
I'm better off with a grunt or a groan for a name.
Last Tango in Paris, she wrote.
Do you want to hear my name?
Has the same kind of hypnotic excitement as the Sacre. The same primitive force, the same thrusting, jabbing eroticism.
Listen to mine.
People are certainly still thinking and talking up a storm about Rite of Spring, especially right now, nearly 100 years after that Paris premiere. But Last Tango? 40 years later, October 14th, will come and go. It was a film of its time.
Last Tango came really at the end of what we would call the 60s, in late 1972.
Author and film critic Jim Hoberman considers Last Tango to have been not at all the beginning of anything.
It was a time when foreign movies were taken seriously and widely discussed. And this may be the last time that anybody saw a movie and thought it was a kind of life-changing event.
That Kael review made her famous and made the film a major subject for debate.
Really, it's just a completely visceral response to a movie.
The X rating, the frontal nudity, and the sheer physicality of the movie didn't hurt either. But of course, now that we've seen everything on screens, big and small, at home and in theaters, Last Tango in Paris doesn't look like much. Unless you consider Marlon Brando. There he is, at age 48, playing a man about his age. He's playing an American, right down to his American-sounding French. And he's improvising a lot of the dialogue and revealing things about his own life, as the 31-year-old Bertolucci had asked him to do.
Well, my mother taught me to love nature, and I guess that was the most she could do.
This may not sound like much of a news item until you think about Brando's career in movies, a fascinating, varied career, but one which never let you really see him. Think about it. There's Brando as the sensitive fighter in On the Waterfront.
My night, I could have taken Wilson apart.
But the character is nothing like the actor.
So what happens? He gets the title shot outdoors in a ballpark, and what do I get? A one-way ticket to Palookaville.
There's Brando as a Mexican revolutionary with a big black mustache, dark makeup, and a sombrero. In Viva Zapata.
Time is one thing to a lawmaker, but to a farmer there's a time to plant and a time to harvest.
And Brando as a charming and really rather sympathetic Nazi officer in The Young Lions.
Naya, look, it is New Year's Eve. You go back to America, I never see you again, and please, I want you to spend the evening with me.
All of which roles, his biographer Patricia Bosworth notes, are not unlike those of one of Brando's favorite actors, the 1930s screen actor Paul Muni, who was never without makeup, an accent, and a broad character to play. And neither was Brando.
Brando always loved being in disguise. It was very instinctual with him. He was just magically able to transform himself.
There he is as a southern sheriff in Arthur Penn's The Chase.
I'm going to give you 1 hour to find Bubber and talk him into surrendering. And when you do, I want you to call me.
Or playing a New York gambler, Sky Masterson, in Guys and Dolls.
When my love comes
complete with songs.
I'll know then and there.
Or as First Officer Fletcher Christian, the dandy, in Mutiny on the Bounty.
My meaty, there must be some way to make you understand that I won't be back. And if you look for me, you'll only be unhappy, and I wouldn't like that.
Or the interpreter, Sacchini, in The Tea House of the August Moon.
Robbery, ladies, kind gentlemen.
Please to introduce myself.
Not to mention Don Corleone.
Now you come to me and you say, Don Corleone, give me justice.
Which helped make his Last Tango role,
which is our last with respect,
a dramatic contrast.
You don't even think to call me Godfather.
The Godfather was released just before Last Tango. And then Last Tango was released, so it was amazing kind of thing for him because his career had not been going very well. In fact, he was almost forgotten.
I can't stand it to see these goddamn things on your face.
And suddenly, he was hotter than hot. Both movies in theaters. He was brilliantly hidden as the Don and graphically revealed as Paul.
This was really Brando unplugged. It was like when Elvis reinvented himself. It's more a resurrection even than a comeback. And it didn't last.
Brando stayed away from films for years after exposing himself in Last Tango in Paris.
He said afterwards, he said he was never, ever going to have this kind of experience again. You know, this kind of intensely painful, wrenching, soul-searching kind of acting performance.
Later, he appeared in the film Superman.
You will carry me inside you all the days of your life.
And he was a huge presence in Apocalypse Now.
Horror and moral terror are your friends.
But he never did appear as anyone remotely Brando-like again.
I'm awfully sorry to intrude, but I was so struck with your beauty that I thought perhaps I could offer you a glass of champagne.
Looking at it now, that, I say, is the revolution that was Last Tango. It isn't the sex. It isn't the film, which really doesn't hold up all that well. It is the document of the great screen actor's most revealing, oddly hypnotic performance as someone perilously close to his very own self. I guess that's reason enough to remember and celebrate its October 1972 premiere. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.